I bellow enough. I used to have to shout over jet engines and dirt and diesels, so it's like, yeah, okay, microphone, no. There were two people at my church that I basically said, yeah, they don't need the microphones, I don't need the microphone. The rest of y'all, you need a microphone. I am Commander Kitsune, one of your hosts. We have Spirit Bear, your other co-host.
Thanks for coming.
Welcome. Yep. Glad we had a decent turnout for this. Yep. That this is good. Hopefully some more people come rolling on in. How many people are military? Okay, this is the great divide. We've already done this.
Yeah.
Is this like the old Planet of the Apes? When they got the makeup on, they started noticing the actors would stay with their own group. The gorillas stayed in one group.
Yeah.
Chimpanzees were in another. We didn't plan that.
Yeah.
They just did that naturally.
Take a water out back.
Yeah, it's down to your right.
We are eventually.
I'll go get you some. You stay here.
Yeah, I guess.
Yes, it is.
I see a lot of young faces.
I know.
Thank you, sir.
There's still people.
Swift, we'll just go and get the WD-40 out for your knees, and that's it. Won't squeak as much.
It's very much metal on me, and that might work.
As I always like to tell those of us that are within the gray muscle side, it's like, you know what? No matter what, we get to know what all the youngsters down there are going to go through. There's no stopping it.
Yep.
We've already experienced the problems they're going to have. We can stand there and laugh. Yep. I know what's going to happen to your knees in 18 years. Because it's already happened.
Yeah. I just decided recently, I'm old. I'm not going to try and pretend, you know, I'm 40 or 50 anymore. I'm old, you know. And, you know, it's very liberating if you just accept it, you know, and not try to fight it.
I just like the fact that at 51 I got carded. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I got an extra 20% on your tip.
Oh, I still remember the last time I was called young man.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, it's been a long time now.
So yeah, he's had a young man to me when I was a kid.
Oh, that's always it. That, and see, that all the things that we got trained by our parents, we now get to do. We're old enough to take advantage of that.
You take the stuff you did when you was a pup. Wouldn't dare think about doing that now because you don't bounce no more. You break.
You know, I can bounce. I just can't run. After I actually trashed my knee in a motorcycle accident last year, and basically they decided no surgery. So he says, well, the only thing is you'll never run again. Okay, well, I'm retired from the military. I don't have to do that 2-mile run anymore. I swim anyway, so okay, I can do without the running. At Motor City, though, I was with Teflon Cougar, and we decided we're going to cross the road. It's like, oh, let's run, and I took one step, and it's like, okay, we're going to hobble quickly. Yeah, you learn that after you trash your knee. It's like, yeah, okay, there's some things I used to do. I ain't doing that no more.
Yeah, for sure.
Monster, make me dance on my own.
To be a gray muzzle, how old are you supposed to be?
Depends on the people. Some people say 30, some people say 35, some people say 40. I say, I don't care because I'm already there. I've been past that.
I've always been saying
that. It's when I get my golden Buckeye card, that's when I start worrying because they're going to be sending that to me. I haven't gotten the ARPA or the AARP monsters yet.
Oh,
thankfully, I haven't gotten those, but it's like, it's only a matter of time they're going to find me.
Too many years for AARP already.
How do you manage that? Because I'm only 50 and I've gotten them.
I got my first one at 50.
They sent me mine at 35. I'm not joking. I took a picture of it and posted on Facebook. They took advantage of all the discounts. So
no, right, they're just like, hey, you want to sign up? I'm like, well, I have many, many years to go, fellas. But they want your money now.
Yeah, exactly.
They need to meet their quota.
I'm 55 years old. I walk into a sub shop in Massachusetts, and I see on the slip, old age discount. I didn't even ask for it, and I got it. Do I look like I'm over 60 or 65? I'm 55. That's what it is. Right. Thank you, Papa Gino's. Yeah.
Give me the elderly coffee, yes. Thank you.
Where's the senior gray muscle discount on the registration?
You know, you don't have a staff member here, you know, you do need to bring that up. We need a gray muscle discount.
The gray muscle discount is because you're old enough and responsible enough to do this stuff, they give you this and a free entry. That's my gray muscle discount.
Preferential treatment in the elevators. Reserved especially for fursuiters and gray muzzles. Should say that.
You would have to actually get a badge tag
Hey, I'm a raccoon. I've already got lots of gray in my tail here. You know?
Lots of raccoons.
See, that's how my master system being a gray fox. It's like, all right, where do
we get the gray there? I'm working. On the note of the elevators, I know we've made a little light of it, but is that an issue, guys? Because if it is standing in line, then I will bring it up.
Well, I mean, for the Weston elevators, probably, yeah.
Elevator
time?
See
how long that line gets at times.
Yes.
Well, for me, as long as the escalator's working, I'm okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't this morning.
No,
from main floor to the first was not working. It was like stairway.
Yeah, well, that's because the kids...
Oh, no.
They did it again.
Suspend themselves by the rails.
They
did
it again.
Off. And when you do that, you take the rail runners out of sync with the steps, and it'll stop automatically.
Yeah.
It's got sensors all over to protect.
Now, on elevators, it would be good if at registration they could get a tag. Because a couple of people stood in line with me, because I don't care about standing, who are disabled.
Yeah.
But it's not really visible, and when they go to try to go to the front, they say get to the back.
Okay.
Because they don't have a little tag that says anything.
Yeah, they definitely
have. And these are valid points that we should be serious about, and I'll bring up to my superior. And
thank you very much.
Get that moved up. So
that's
my
an awesome idea.
My superior is a board of directors, is on the board of directors. So.
One of my concerns on the elevators is that we have a few instances of an malfunction.
That's normal for
Android.
StairCons.
And they have 10 elevators. You have no problems. There's never a line at the Omni going up.
The DoubleTree, there's never any line, but you got to just get to the DoubleTree. You got to take the shuttle or walk.
Yeah.
But once you get there, there's no line for the elevator.
Like, what, they got like 7 or 8 elevators in that place?
It's got like maybe 5, but there's no line. I stay at the DoubleTree every year. Oh, Omni. I'm at the Doubletree. Yeah.
The line at the elevators is a strictly Weston problem.
Yeah.
Because this is the main hotel, and this is where everyone's staying.
Yep.
Do I need to bring up
there were lines back in the days of...
Pay for commissions. What's that? I wrapped around the entire artist alley.
Oh, that line also.
Yeah, that needs work. Well, yeah, that
moment. Now, yesterday, though, I went in there, and it actually was moving a lot faster. So I think it was just getting people up to speed and getting the system working. And I mean, the thing is, I've done more than 200 conventions. For the size and scope of this one, it's only when you start getting up to the 20,000 people conventions that you start seeing, okay, now you have to go to the next step. I will say Anthrocon does do a damn good job on trying to get things moving forward. It's people though.
Yeah,
it's bad.
The registration lines this year
would have
nothing like last year.
Swift, just bring in the Shelties next time and have them herd people around. The three of them will actually do quite a number on everybody here. We can get them actually moving.
Keep them from standing around in hallways and on the bridge.
Or you just bring drill instructors in.
Yeah,
Samuel.
The other crowd issue is, of course, photography.
Yeah.
Oh, stop now. I want to take a picture in the middle of everything so I can get it.
Yeah. That's a good point.
I've yet to see a convention that have really taken a good stand on that other than going and saying, we're not going to allow photography in the hallways.
But then you have to have...
It's rather draconian. It allowed people to move back and forth, but it really went and took down the fan experience of people that want to take pictures of the costumes.
There's a right... If you're a good photographer, you'll know that bridge between the buildings is a lousy place to take pictures because the lighting is horrendous.
Yep.
But that's where you see a lot of clogs. You see some clogs over by
Conops
a bit.
I'm just an old guy who has to shake out
certain
areas. I guess.
Gentleman back there, you want to make a comment? Yes, sir. You had your hand up, you wanted to make a comment, sir?
Me?
No. Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, maybe we could make some accommodations for some of the older people around here.
Where?
I'm with my friends right here, but...
He's not a grandma.
He's
the one in the room that's not the grandma's.
That's okay.
Yeah, you still are.
We'll get there eventually.
Guess what? Most of us within here, there in some aspect, we're socially awkward. I might be a Navy commander. I've got my socially awkward moments as well. So don't worry, man. You're one of us.
I'm thankful to say thank you to some of these veterans.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, so you're probably getting off topic here. I'll bring that up.
Well, I was saying that what you could do, if there's a couple of hallways that are the worst for that problem, you could try blocking photography in just that area, or say maybe, you know, try to get at either end where it's a little bit, so that would be doable
that,
if it's just...
That would be an issue to bring up with the door side and with staff. And go and make a recommendation, because the thing is, they'll take those and they'll start looking at it, because that is a crowd control issue. It's also a safety issue.
Yeah.
So when you're saying, hey, what about this? That's something for them to then think about over the following year, because let's face it, they got 360 days to go and set up for Anthrocon next year. We're going to be here. Yep. How do we set it up? So bring it up with staff. Because they might say, hey, you know, that ain't a bad idea. Let's try it.
Definitely do the online survey at the end where you can put in all those items. Because
yes.
Giza actually does look at everything.
For that, not only do the push, but also the pull. It's like, okay, don't do this here. Here's the best place to do it.
Yeah.
And then advertise that. It's like, here is the best photography areas. Go here and encourage first-aiders to hang around there.
Yeah.
And I've actually seen some cons do that type of thing where it's like, no, these are the designated photo areas, and people went absolutely bonkers because it's like, oh, wow, now I can get everybody. I'm not searching around for them, and great lighting.
Yeah.
Nothing, like I was trying to say, you can't go on the elevator at this floor. It's like it says, unless it's a medical issue, because I blew up my knee right at the start. And I couldn't make it down to the first floor, let alone stand in that line. So I was on the second floor, and I waited for it. And they gave me a heck of a time, almost yelling at us that we can't be there to do that. And I couldn't walk. I mean, I was really hurt.
I would go and find one of the senior members of the door side, one of the people that have been in the door side for a long time. Bring that up to them, because a lot of them, they won't like hearing that went on, because that's not how it's supposed to be.
And that's sadly an issue with congoers, as opposed to door side. Congoers are very unforgiving.
Personally, I would like to hear some stories about what it's like to be a fur in the military, be openly furry. In the military.
Openly furry?
Hmm.
I don't think
now, see, I am the exception to the rule because I am a commander. So if somebody wants to make a comment to me, I just can sort of look at it and say, yeah, and? Because it's like, what are you going to do to me? I'm sorry, I'm the guy that goes and says, hang that person.
as a non-com, when I was in the Navy, I just separated. It didn't come up in conversation. It's like if work.
Don't tell.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like I'm homosexual or anything, but I'm furry.
Does that make them more nervous when you just send them to the brig? Arr!
You know, I did in my career deal with pirates, and so it's a very sore subject for me. Some people are all into the pirate thing. It's like,
oh, yeah.
I'm sorry, I dealt with the real life thing. Now that actually. You want to get me psyched about that? That can be an issue.
Don't watch any of the Pirates of the Caribbean.
No. Movie. I was in a science fiction convention. Somebody started doing that, and then I went and I made the comment. And of course, the cast members that they had there who had worked on Pirates of the Caribbean said, like, "Look, we are dealing with a movie only. This is fictional, but guys, you're okay.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. You're making a good movie." for the whole thing of being a military person who is also a furry. I was actually asked by National Geographic, they wanted to go and feature me on Taboo for the secret double lives of military furries. I said, well, A, I have enough problems with my single life, I don't need a double life. B, there's no secret. When I did my last security clearance, I gave them a whole page of everything I'm doing within the furry fandom. And the woman looks at me, she goes, why are you telling me this? So, well, it's real hard to blackmail me if I've already told you, is it? And she goes, good point. Puts a line through the page. That's how much they cared about it. What they care about is, are you doing something illegal? When I got called up after 9/11, I actually took a box and I put a bunch of fur into it. And I had it shipped to where I was going to be stationed overseas. I had the deputy director of Intel come over to my room the one time. He goes, what the hell is this? And there is fur strewn all over the living room because I was cutting patterns to make tails. And when I said what it was, he goes, okay, I want to see a picture of the final product. The scary thing is he went and told the head of Intel then. Uh-oh. Which was even worse, because then the head of Intel's like, oh, do you have like costumes or anything? Like, well, yes, sir, I do, and I went ahead and I got some pictures and I showed him, because, oh, that's really cool, can you get them shipped over here? And I'm like, Lenny, are you and Tracy planning on me being the babysitter for the kids while you go out for the night? Damn it, you figured it out. It's like, okay, this is just wrong. It's like, no, they're not, they're supposed to be scared of me now. No, then I did a full costume at my reserve center one time for Halloween.
What costume?
And I had my original gray fox costume. And so it was pretty cheesy, but it was decent though. Well, the CEO of the center, he has this like store-bought Scooby-Doo costume. Of course, all the chiefs are going, yeah, but Commander Wise has the cool costume. They're like, how does this thing work? And they're all coming up. They're all cool with it. Everybody's like, yeah, the CEO's just got that store-bought thing. My God.
See, that's the experience I've had. I've shared the furry fandom with people because I'm proud to be a furry. I'm thankful for being a furry. It's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. I've always liked the stuff, but just found the fandom in 2015. I brag about it, and I've only had two people so far that tell me, you know, oh, well, you got to be careful about that, that's a fetish, that's a this, that's a that, and it's like, no. And my attitude is, if people start hating on it, I said, okay, how come we raised $30,000 in 3 days for the Pittsburgh Zoo that we don't even know? You know, how do we do that? You know, go to a furry convention, it's got the most life any convention's ever had. I've been to comic book conventions, I've been to Star Trek conventions, they are dead. There is a love that flows through this convention that is amazing.
Preach.
Not even seen it in church. Not even seen that kind of love in church.
Well, I did take off the collar because I was just doing the Furry Christians Fellowship earlier this morning. So I figured it's like, they didn't give me enough time. There's no way because they put it at 10 o'clock and at noon. It's like, all right, 10 o'clock, do the stuff with the religious stuff on. Go back to the Omni, change into my whites, get back down here. But oh, then I've already got the stuff out of my room because I've already checked out of the hotel. So then I got to go in my whites all day? Heck no!
I seen you in your whites yesterday.
Yeah, I figured I had to wear them because I actually got the haircut. It's like I can't be Commander Hippie when I'm in the uniform. What's this skin on the back of my neck thing? You then you. Go ahead.
So I retired in 2000, as far as being openly furry in the military, but I went to Iraq in 03 for a year. I was openly furry.
Wow.
Oh, I mean, I had the ears on. Well, I'm a civilian now. So I'm wearing the ears all day long. People come in and out of the command center thinking, is this a clinger type? General Wallace was cool with me, and I worked for him, so no one cared. I went all over Iraq wearing a tail, ears. Had all my furry t-shirts, didn't wear flak vests.
Not getting trouble for it.
It's not going to save your life.
All those com badges protected you.
Yeah. It was very interesting because it started conversations. Why are you dressed like that? Oh, I do this for a hobby. Right. Oh, that sounds like a fun hobby. Yeah, they're all over the U.S. When you get back, you're near wherever you're stationed. Mm. And it was very, very open to the idea.
That's good to hear you.
All right.
Well, I just wanted to mention one thing. My father was a veteran, and when I went to one of the early Anthrocons, one of the ones, the first ones I went to, I told him and I said, look, it's an anthropomorphic convention. Don't believe any of the stories you hear. Nothing happens. And he said, oh, it's fine, just as long as it isn't a VFW convention.
Actually, before you go into that, you realize when we used to be at the old Hotel for Method down in Memphis, they said the furries, oh, you guys aren't the problems. Thank God you're not the Rotary. And thank God you're not the Elvis impersonators. The Elvis impersonators had been in there 2 weeks earlier. They were putting holes in the walls. They're like, the furries, you guys are just weird. We can deal with weird. You're not destructive. You, sir, then we'll get you.
Excuse me. I myself wasn't really openly furry when I was in service. I don't think I realized I was actually a furry until after I had gotten out. Because I had looked back on my first experience really in the whole, and basically realizing I was furry was when I looked back and realized that there was a character on Saturday morning Sonic the Hedgehog. Sally Acorn. I actually kind of thought she was hot, and I was like, damn, she's... And so I didn't, as at the time, I was thinking, okay, that's... At the time, I was thinking, I didn't think it was weird at all. It was... I didn't say anything because I had a feeling other people would think it was weird. But then I kind of just pushed, you know, back to the back, and then it's like, I realized, like, after I get out of the service, I'm, like, looking at different, you know, anthropomorphic art and stuff. It's like, I always thought, at first, furries were the people that were into the whole like, basically the fetish thing.
Yep.
And I actually finally, one of those days, I was like, I looked it up, it's like, you know what, I'm curious. I'm going to look up the actual definition of furry. And it didn't say anything about that. I mean, I did do further research and find out there are, I mean, how do I put this? There are those people. I mean, it's, usually I direct people to Rule 34.
Yep.
If it exists, there is porn of it. It's, now, that's one thing that really kind of gets my goat, no pun intended, about the whole media and the furry fandom. They're always...
Sensationalistic?
Yeah, they're basically trying to vilify the furry community because they think it's weird people, you know, they think everyone has sex in the fursuits and stuff. It's, okay, there are those people, yes, but look at any fandom, comic conventions, anime conventions, Star Trek, Star Wars, every single fandom has those people. To single out and vilify the furry community is just wrong. They're just looking, they're basically looking for a bullet sponge. They're looking for somebody to pick on and just grind into the dirt. That's wrong.
Actually, the comment that was made back there, that's why I'm no longer in the media. I was a DJ back in the 80s. Another thing that I've done, I won't work for the media, and I have enough friends who have gotten out of the media for that exact reason. It's infomercials. That's what the news shows are. They're infomercials. They're no longer news.
I even told Kage last night, because I actually had met up with him a couple times, told him I'd buy him a drink, because, I mean, I had seen him on YouTube a few times. It's like, I think he's really cool. And so I sat and had a couple drinks with him, and I actually brought up to him about when I went to the first FurCon, convention, which this is.
Yeah, so it's your first con.
Yes. Yep. The one person I was speaking said Uncle Kage had said, when you ask, you know, don't ask what a furry is, ask what a furry was. They were the, you know, they were the kids that were always picked last or never picked. They were the kids that were picked on. They were the, and I basically told him, he's like, you have no idea how deeply that hit me.
Yeah.
Because it was so true that it's like, and it's like, and that's basically what it was. I mean, I didn't have any companions in school. I didn't have any friends. I was when everybody picked on. Hell, I went one time when I went home with footprints in my back because they pushed me down on the bus and walked on me. I mean, I was even bullied at home. My stepmother, I'm not going to get into that, but I was bullied at home even. So I found my escape through tunes and books. And it's true what they said. Basically, you find companionship basically with yourself, with your own imagination. And that's essentially what furries are. They are products of our imagination. They're all characters. They're all our characters. We created them, and then we go out and act as them, and we found a community of like-minded individuals.
Yes.
And it's I finally found a place where I think I actually, you know, can, I that clicks with me, that I mean, that I can.
Oh, yeah. It,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, I love it. You know, I wish, you know.
I know you had your hand up, and then you, so we'll get you first.
Yeah, a little anecdote from last year's convention. I don't know if you guys heard this. I'm a Pittsburgh native, so I get a scoop on the reaction that the city has to work the anthem on stuff. At the same time, at AnthroCon last year, Billy Joel was doing a concert over in PNC Park, and Kenny Chesney was doing a concert over in Times Square. Billy Joel things were awesome. Kenny Chesney's concert, which was like 2-3 hours, generated 40 tons of garbage.
Wow.
AnthroCon didn't. So.
Yeah.
Right. So, we behave ourselves well.
Yeah.
Now, a note about the reputation of the fandom. I've been in the fandom long enough to remember. Now, I'm not sure. I'm going to make everyone who's old enough, who's been in a fandom long enough, I should say, cringe when I say CSI.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh. Actually, no, that makes me laugh.
Funny as can be.
I vaguely remember something about it.
There were smaller ones way back. The fandom has worked very, very hard to improve on the reputation. I think they've done a very good job of it. Yes, the sexualized portion is still there, but it's not the main focus of it all and end all. Like,
no, it's a fellowship.
I almost killed my parents over the CSI episode.
It's a fellowship.
The story on this one is it got brought up at my parents' house. My sister is there. And of course, my sister is asking all these questions. My parents already knew I was in the furry fandom. My mom helped me make my first suit. And it's like, yes, absolutely, that is 100% true, because you know that my tongue comes at least a foot out of my mouth, so I can get it out of the costume to lick the other person's fur. I have a line of women at my room at every con I go to, because they know I have a tongue that long. And it's just like, that's gross. My parents are going to fall out of their chairs. It's like, oh yeah, reality check. So yeah, that one, it's like,
wow.
And stuff like that. Turn it on. Turn it on, because it's like, yeah, okay, are you really that stupid to think that? Okay, fine. You're in that class.
Yeah. Coggy says having sex in a fursuit, it's like wearing a sofa, you know?
Yeah. Common unheard to end yet. Being a fursuiter, yeah, do you really want to wear your sofa while having sex? I don't know. I just wouldn't do it.
Yeah, yeah.
You and then you, the person behind.
Yes, first. Yeah, for me, when I get asked, what is it you do? What is furry like that? The first thing that I'll tell them, you know, we're fans of cartoon animals, like,
yep.
And then I'll cite either Saturday morning cartoons or the older cartoons like Looney Tunes or Tom and Jerry, depending on what the age of the person is I'm talking to. And usually they'll latch on like that, and then they'll want to know more about it.
Mm-hmm. Wile E. Coyote.
Robin Hood and Lion King are still two of the safest ones brands. Like,
yep.
It's Disney cartoons.
Yeah.
Sir?
Yeah, and I was going to say, a couple of points. CSI was 14 years ago, 2003, and people
wow.
are still talking about it.
Yeah.
Talk
14
about
years ago. That makes me feel old.
They are getting their money out of that one.
And I did the same sort of alibi for years. Oh, I'm going to an animation convention. Until I finally said, the hell with it. I'm a fur, I'm going to a furry convention. And that maybe is the last point I want to make in this particular blah. I call myself a fur. I do not call myself a furry. Because furry sounds kind of young, it sounds kind of diminutive, it sounds kind of dismissive, you know, cute or whatever. You do not call a trekker a trekkie. And when I was a kid, I hated being called a kiddie. And I think if we call ourselves furs, it sounds more sophisticated, it sounds more mature. That's just a suggestion I make, it's something I try and share with people. So there it is.
Yesterday, I was down at the McDonald's near on Liberty, wearing my tail. There's the McDonald's hyena that's been around the con. Mm-hmm. I was with them because they wanted to go in there and do a little video. The staff were okay with it. They thought it was awesome. Then we got the people off to the side, like, where's my food? And they see him, and most of them were okay with it. And then they got this one guy that's like, stop talking, I want my food. I'm like, really? And then this one lady comes up and is like, sir, why are you wearing a tail? What's going on here? And I'm like, well, ma'am, this is Anthrocon, which is an anthropomorphic convention for people who like to wear mascots slash furry slash whatever, like the suit, the costumes. And she's like, oh, that sounds like fun. And I was like, well, I mean, it's right down the road.
Come on down.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Yes, absolutely.
Sir,
we don't bite. Well,
much. Okay. I was gonna say you brought up the family thing and being kind of bullied at home. I live with a very skeptical family. I have a very skeptical mother that wouldn't understand all of this stuff. So when I explained the furry thing, I focused on the artwork first and kind of showed her some of that stuff and then talked about going to group events, and then all of a sudden I said, well, the group that I hang out with, the group I go with, they call themselves furry. So she knows I'm a furry, so she didn't, you know, buck against it as much as if I just come out right out and said, oh, by the way, I just want to let you know I'm a furry. You know?
Yeah.
I started out with the artwork, focused on the positive thing that I knew she would accept, and then just kind of gradually gave a few more details. You know, but in the public, you know, I'm not afraid of it. I'm not ashamed of it. You know, yeah, I'm going to a furry convention. And like he said, you know, I talked about the cartoon characters. And I said, you know, we all love the cartoon characters. And that's what we do. We go down to the convention. We dress up in cool costumes. And we experience a lot of love. You know, you get to be a kid again if you're young at heart. And that's the thing I love about it. But like I said, that life flows throughout all the people. Everybody I talk to seems to be very friendly, very happy, very loving, very caring. You know, I dropped my phone the other day and some guy chased me down and gave it back to me. If I'd been at a comic book convention, they would have kept it and walked away and he would have lost it. You know,
yeah.
So there's a difference. You know, like I said, my friend was freaking out about losing his billfold in the Headless Lounge and somebody took it to the Lost and Found. I mean, you know, there's a caring that runs through this fandom that has impressed me. The thing that kicked me off in the furry fandom was the video for Anthrocon in 2015 when it was singing about, I'm looking for the better me, I'm looking for, you know, going out with no fear, you know. And it's like, you know, this is my year, you know, and that's what set it off.
Yeah.
For me.
Part of why I'm still, and I know you're next up, part of why I'm still in the fandom, this is a payback. Because when I got called up after 9/11, I lost contact with almost everybody, including my own church. In fact, when I got back home, the pastor was pissed off because he found out nobody had even sent me a Christmas card. And he was upset that they had gone and basically failed one of their parishioners that badly.
Wow.
Every day, though, when I would check my computer, there was at least one email from a furry somewhere asking, is there anything I can get you? What can I send you over there? So, 17 years later, I'm paying back the fandom for what the fandom did for me back then. Because it let me remember, I'm still a part of this country, that I'm just not, oh yeah, go over here and get my oil for me. Because most of the time, that's what I get. When I get told by a lot of people, thank you for your service, I'm like, well, I'm glad I could go get your oil for you. Because you sure weren't willing to do it. And I know I get a little bit nasty on it at times, but when you've been spat on, when you've been told you're a murderer, a killer, a baby killer, a rapist, because you wear the uniform, I'm like, well, geez, I'm glad both sides hate me now. I guess I've done my part. That's also why I'm an ally, is because I can have both sides hate me now. That's life. But this fandom is the way I get to pay back, because the fandom did something for me that I really wasn't expecting. Yes, sir, and then we'll get you.
You're talking about people get into the fandom. My wife passed away from cancer in 2014. We've been married for over 25 years, and I'd spent like about 8 months afterwards trying to figure out what I'm gonna do with my life, because I took an early retirement and I was a single parent with two kids. And I was redecorating my living room one day and I was putting out wildlife art, because I've liked wildlife art for years. And my son comes out of his bedroom and looks at me and asks me point blank, are you a furry? And I was like, no. And I didn't give him an answer. And I started thinking about it and I realized I've been probably a furry and I just never realized it for years, I'm going all the way back to Robin Hood and Lion King and a Beauty and the Beast ice show with a featured a couple of wolf ice dancers.
Yeah.
And I realized, yeah, I am. And I started interacting online. I went to a couple of events. I went to my first live event was Further Confusion. And I walked in, and within 30 minutes, I said, I want to be a part of this. Well, I had told my kids, yeah, I'm going to a fandom convention, because they knew I'd done fantasy and science fiction conventions back in the 80s. And I went to a couple of other local events, and then I started thinking, you know, I've got to tell the kids. And so I went back to my son about, you know, 6, 7, 8 months later, and I said, okay, remember that question you asked me last summer? And he said, no. I said, okay, you asked me if I was furry? And he said, yeah. And I said, I am. And he was kind of upset about it because he heard about that side about it.
Yeah.
And he went into his room and he was kind of like, rrr. And a day later he came out and he asked, is this a fetish thing? And I said, no. And he was like, mm. So he went back into his room. And a few days later he came up and said, you know, it's okay because some of his online gaming buddies were furries. And my daughter found out through when she found out that I had commissioned some art. And I told her some those are dark missions that I had. And this fandom, the local fandom said, welcome. You know, I basically lost most of my friends except one that I've known since I was 6. And they took in a complete stranger. And then one of them said, after about a month, said, hey, you ought to buy a fursuit. So I did. I wore it to a fur bowl in the Bay Area. And it was about 3 minutes, I was like, what the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
And then it was like, this is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And somebody came up to me, Zarafa, actually, some of you may know Zarafa. He came up to me, he's the same as I am, and he gave me a big hug and says, you're one of us now. And
one
kind
of
pushing me, he's incredibly addictive, and now I have a closet full of them.
You could have gotten into drugs, but you chose the more expensive route. I'm going in the fursuit. That's why I became a musician as in high school and that. I had the choice. I could go to drugs or music. I got the more expensive of the one that I can't be cured from.
There was a question. I don't know if anybody has filled out that first science survey. And one of the questions was, how much have you spent on fursuit supplies and things like that, fursuits in the past 12 months, and I wrote it down. I was like,
triple digits?
No, it wasn't that, but it was definitely 5 digits.
5 digits?
I'm not quite
sure. Yeah, because by the time you put 3 fursuits in there.
Sir.
That's at least $10,000.
Pittsburgh data is actually pretty convenient. Pretty dark place in my life, and I work a pretty intense job. Don't have a whole lot of time to myself, but things have changed, things are better, but it's just, this is my recharge that I love. You know, it's just like, I come here and I'm reminded that there is a lot more to life than work.
Very true.
Between the com?
I go to a lot of different
areas. I go to Western PA, you know. And I also get Dragon Con every year, I do get out a lot, but it's just like, this recharges me, this gets me through until next July.
I think it does
well worth the money spent. It's well worth the money spent.
Yeah.
I still wound up like my dad, who was all alone and really didn't have any friends,
Then we'll get yours.
When the gentleman said fur over furry, I refer to myself as a fur too, but do you remember Method when they came to protest the fur convention? With PETA?
No, I had not been at that one.
Oh, PETA shows up to protest us because we're a fur convention. We went out and counter-protested with people eating tasty animals until Tiger Cowboy says, stop harassing the protesters! Fur, for some people, when you say fur, they immediately think you're slaughtering little animals to wear them.
Yeah.
And you have to be careful with terminology because different groups have different reactions.
Yep. Or just explain it.
I was just going to say, I had a similar experience in 2009 when I was deployed. Outside of my immediate family, the only people that ever wrote me any kind of letters or any, sent me emails were my friends in the fur community. It was the same thing. Like, they were my support while I was, overseas. and I was able to actually, you know, they were my communication back in, you know, back home. And I was on the USS New Orleans when I got hit by the Hartford. And I actually found out from one of my furry friends what had happened, because they weren't telling us anything. We just knew that something had hit us. So they didn't actually announce it on the news before any of us on the ship found out what had happened initially. Wow. But slightly related, I got a message from a friend on Facebook just before I headed out here. He's like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I'm like, I'm going up to Pittsburgh for Anthropon. He's like, oh, are you a furry? I'm like, yeah. He's like, so do you have to be a mammal or like?
I mean, that's been a question going on in the fandom for years. It's like, what if you're a scaly? What if you're a feathery? And it's like, you know what? It's anthropomorphic. You can be
anything.
What was that?
The talking toaster.
The brave little toaster, yes.
There was a person walking around with a TV on their head.
I saw that too.
Well, there is an airplane.
Yeah, he's walking around somewhere. Yeah.
I saw him when I was coming back from the McDonald's yesterday.
Yeah,
there's another one in the Bay Area.
Now, of course, you all do realize the Furry Panda does have their own nuclear-powered submarine.
What?
Wait, what? Huh?
The USS Pittsburgh.
Huh.
There were a bunch of sailors on board that loved Michelle Light's work. So they had had art commissioned. That art was put on the submarine.
Oh, wow.
That was basically Michelle Light's submarine. So the Furry Fandom had their own nuclear attack submarine.
Nice.
They had no dark on their submarine.
Well, they had art inside, basically inside the crew's mess. They had artwork done by Michelle Light that was posted in there. And she was. That's why if you look at some of her older prints, it's USS Pittsburgh. Yeah, that ain't no joke. Because she actually had sailors show up at one of the Anthrocons in Philly. And they came in as a group.
Wow. Furry Run 688, yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Sir, that's her. Yes. Got some traction out of it. They got their money's worth out of the production cost. Especially since I think the first their furry advisor got like $1,500. It's like, yeah, okay, dude. Thanks for selling out the fandom.
Yeah, no doubt.
Sir.
Yeah, they're talking about that furry art on a naval ship.
Yep.
Next, down in Texas, in their mess hall, they had furry art.
The ship itself had a face and a slingshot.
Yep, I remember that picture well.
And a ball glove to catch them when they're coming
back.
Yeah,
they're cringing coming in the land.
That's a furry.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that was, that's actually when I did one of the original military fur panels. I was talking to people and I said, you realize that Antarctic Press, when they started the comic Furlough, they were basically pointing that at military, because for the military, we've always had mascots. You look at every military unit, they have a mascot, whether it's a live one or whether it's a picture. That's nothing new for the military. We're all messed up in the head. I think Bill Murray was absolutely right in stripes. Look, his nose is cold. That's exactly it. We're messed up. That's why we joined the military. We should have been locked up. Well, they found something cheaper. They put us in the military instead.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like, for us, it was the tomahawks. But we were like, okay, we're just going to make what some of the fursuiters have, which was actually one of the skulls. With the, I don't know what they're actually called, the skull fursuiters that they have running around. And they actually put that on our platoon's t-shirts. So it's like, we have a skull furry on the back of our shirts.
Awesome.
There you
go. Yeah. Okay, I was going to originally say, I'll get back from vacation. Then they find out, you're going on another one? Where are you going? And I said, oh, a furry convention. They say, what's that? Then I talked to some people, I asked them, are you furry? And they say no. Then I talked to them later, and I said, then I find out, oh, they liked swat cats or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I found out they had furry in them. Some people don't even know it, but they got furry in them.
Closet furry.
Does anybody remember from back in, I think it was either 2009 or 2010, when we had Mensa do the annual gathering here off at the Omni at the same time that Anthrocon was going on? So here you have the top 2% of IQ, and I am a member of Mensa as well, and I stayed at that hotel because it was cheaper than being down here. So I'm doing both conventions, and I got accused by staff of recruiting, because everybody up there at Mensa is like, what the hell is that going on down there? So I explained there, and how do we get in there? Like, all right, you come down on Saturday, and you buy a one-day pass, and you watch the fursuit parade, because there you're going to see really where people's creativity goes through the roof. And we had a bunch of people from the annual gathering that basically blew off the annual gathering to come on down here for a day. And some of those people decided to join the fandom afterwards because, like, this is a blast. I have done the What is Furry panel at the National Convention twice since then. And people go nuts for it because they're like, okay, so where's the nearest one to where we're at right now? And I have to go and say, well, there's this one at this time, this one at this time. And I have to start explaining where and when the various furry conventions are, because they want to start doing it, because the common theme has been, geez, that looks like fun. Mm-hmm. And people want to find something fun to do. The good thing is we're a rather accepting community.
Yep.
So you can have fun, and you can be a little weird, once again. Just like being in the military, we're a little strange. Well, Mensa, we're a little strange too there.
Furry's brave and somebody brave enough to let the kid out.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm doing.
And he says, let the animal out.
I was going to ask, why did PETA protest Midwest Fur Fest?
That was Method down in Memphis, Tennessee. But it was because they thought all the costumes were made out of actual animal fur.
They thought we wore a fur convention.
That we were having animals killed, skinned, and then we were wearing the furs.
That's
like,
terrible.
The thing is, this is one of the comments that Kage made. It's like, yes, are furries into fur? It's about the same as people at comic book conventions saying, I'm into Superman, so I'm going to jump off a building.
Yeah.
No, we don't do that.
Did PETA go through with any attempted attacks or anything?
They just protested.
Yeah, they protested. Meaning
paint drawing,
I mean.
Oh, no.
I don't think so. I have, basically, one of my friends has had that happen to her. She actually, she worked strategic weapons at Washington, D.C., and they actually hit her with one of the paintballs with her fur coat. And she goes, you guys realize this is fake fur? And she basically made sure they were charged with destroying her fake fur, and they had to pay for the coat to be cleaned. It's just like, okay,
nice.
You guys are going to be that stupid to go and fire a paintball gun at me to get paint on my fake fur. I went out specifically to find non-real. It's like, yes, this is made from animals. It's dinosaurs from a couple hundred million years ago that have been turned into oil and turned into synthetics. My coat is synthetic, yes. It's a very dead animal, okay? It's not new.
The one thing I noticed in the fandom, as I use it for focusing on telling people about, but I noticed that the creativity flows from all kinds of areas, like dancing, artwork, wearable artwork, paintable artwork, the backpacks. I mean, there's a lot of creativity there. So I noticed that, and that's a thing. It fired my creativity back up because I needed that outlet to get me back into drawing and things like that. And people talk about, well, you can either do this or you can do, you know, drugs. You know, well, to me, when I was in the parade last year, that was the best time I ever had.
Your tail was going warp speed.
No drug can give you that kind of high. And
well, this
the
thing is, a lot
longer
lasting.
Walk away from it, you're walking in the influence of love. And that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to have that love. And like I said, I don't see that kind of love within the church walls, within even a Word of Faith church. You know, there's so many cliques and there's so many signs and they don't have room for you and they don't accept you and they're ritzy and they're this and they're that and they don't love you. Here, the furry fandom loves you.
in one way or another, you can sense that love.
Well, we have our cliques here as well.
Well, and that's true, but I mean that love still flows through.
We've got a wide enough, there's a wide enough band, there's still a lot more acceptance here than I've seen in a lot of things. I'm also clergy. I'm ordained. And so I've seen the bad, I've seen the good.
But using the cliques on that side doesn't open up to you. The cliques here open up to you. Even if they don't do anything with you, they at least are friendly to you, they at least acknowledge you, and they at least open up to you.
The thing is, you've got a better chance of finding a group that is accepting within the furry fandom. True. Because we are wide enough. The other thing is, and you look at a lot of fandoms, one of my problems with the anime fandom, I'm the old guy in there. Because I've been to one con and I had some people, are you here to pick up your children?
Wow.
I'm like, no, I don't have any children. I'm single, never married. And of course, then the assistant con chair is shouting down from the top, hey, Larry, come on up here. And they're like, huh? And it's like, oh, yeah, I know Danny. And all of a sudden I start walking off and they're like, wait a minute, you're hanging out with like staff and all the guest artists and all this? Like, yeah, I've been around the cons long enough that now I'm in that position where I get to talk with those people one-on-one. This fandom has a full range of ages and we actually celebrate being gray muscles. It's not, oh, you're the old fart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right, kid. I'm the old fart. What are you going to do about it? I've been here buying artwork a lot longer than you.
You and then, yeah, I went to FWA Atlanta back in April, and I think there were maybe five other gray muscles there, if that many. It was almost totally a young crowd. And the other thing is I was going on my own, so I looked up a room share on their website and found one they were looking for a person. And I was really afraid that, you're an old guy in here. And, these were all people in their 20s. Maybe they were totally cool with me. There was no kind of dismissive attitude because I was a great muscle man. That was like really a relief because I was afraid that would happen. So,
sir and then sir.
One thing I've found in this fandom, even being in gray muscle, is that actually when it comes to the younger ones, they actually, I've found a good number will actually seek you out. How about this? What about this? That kind of thing. Instead of being,
we get to be mentors. Yes. We're a fandom that enjoys mentorship. We have a position to do. Very few things allow that. We get to, once again, we get to revel in it. Sir,
that's you know, I never put on a fursuit until I was 58. And when I started doing it, I suddenly was like, this is really cool. So, and I do it now frequently, and I start looking at the calendar, okay, when can I do it next?
Yeah.
And what's really humbling is when experienced people who have been in the fandom for years, maybe they're all in their 20s, and they come up to you and say, you're my inspiration.
Wow.
And it's like, and I've only been in the fan less than 2 years. And they're coming up to you and saying, you're my inspiration. I hope that I can be doing that when I'm your age.
Wow. Yeah, that's
what we get to do.
Well, there may be cliques here, but it's more like, we'll band together a lot. It's not that we're going to fight the other cliques. Literally, the reason I stopped going to one science fiction convention is the art show group and the Huckster Room group. They were constantly fighting with each other, and somebody said, you realize that? I said, yeah, when when they hate each other's guts.
Yeah.
I just want to say quickly what you were talking about. I was in the Headless Lounge last year, and this younger fellow said, I hope I'm still suiting when I'm your age.
I hope you reach my age.
Keep talking like that, you might not reach my age.
One of the things with being military that I did, when I first basically started making myself known within the fandom, was that I had a lot of junior enlisteds starting to ask for advice. Because here you had, by that time I was already a commander, somebody in an authority position And no matter what, whether we're military or gray muscle, we do have an authority position just by us being older and more experienced. So we can be selfish and hide that, or we can try and help those younger ones that, yeah, you want to be fursuiting when you're my age. Awesome. Yeah, let's make sure you can, because we want to make sure you continue to have that love of the fandom. Mm.
You were talking earlier about some of the cartoons and things like that having an influence. I hear from a lot of people that Zootopia suddenly goes, oh, furry, oh, it's kind of neat.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You're only making two more?
Yep. The thing is, that's when you make it not scary. Mm-hmm. And look at Pittsburgh. When Pittsburgh first brought in Anthrocon, it was, okay, we're walking on eggshells here.
Yep.
Then they had a world organization come in that trashed the place. And the furries come in and generate $5 million and don't trash the place. Who do we want? We'd rather have those furries back because, once again, they might be weird, but they're not trashing our city and they're generating funds. Wow, we get tax revenue out of this. Happy day, we've got customers.
All the businesses.
We're not scary.
The restaurants and stuff that started not only putting the paw prints and everything outside, but opening on the weekend. This is downtown. Everything will shut down. Oh, wait, people want to spend money.
Yeah.
So they start opening up, and they all these welcome furry signs, discounts and everything.
Dog food balls.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that reminds me.
G20.
Yeah,
the G20. Yeah, G20, there were protests in here. Protesters came down, and they actually caused quite a bit of damage. Do you remember what the final figure was? It was over $1 million, wasn't it?
It was $2 or $3 million in damages.
Wow.
And that's just damages. That's not loss of work.
Because everybody shut down their businesses down here. Because
the FBI and stuff shut down.
Oh.
Businesses around the various hotels that were being used to house diplomats and their parties.
Several places are giving us that sit there. Now, yesterday I was down on the far side of the walkway for the fursuit parade. And I remember as I had walked up, because I was still in uniform before the fursuit parade, so I went back up to my room, changed back into regular clothes, and come back down. When I was going up, I'm hearing all the locals say, yeah, they're setting up chairs for us now. This is great. And I'm thinking, okay, and here you have, and I'm watching all these families come down. They got the kids.
Yeah.
And I remember standing in the front, and here's one of the people that had the skull-type costume. And there's the little girl that she couldn't be more than 4 years old, and she's high-fiving people through the gate as they're coming through. And he basically stops and turns to the person that behind him who had the basket of flowers, and he pulls one of the flowers out, and he does that. And she just lit up. It's like, okay, here's like the scary costume.
Yeah.
She lit up because he gave her a flower. And her mom's like, well, here, honey, let me take it and set it on the chair. It's like, no, 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 I'm holding the flower. Mm-hmm. She's high-fiving, but that flower is staying in the other hand. Okay, once again, we're not scary.
Yeah.
Right. We stopped being scary. And a lot of other cities, oh, those furries. And I think, yeah, Pittsburgh got the furries. Cleveland got the Republican National Convention. Woo-hoo. We got to spend a bunch of money, have people come in, and yeah, we showed the city really does well up there. Didn't generate much revenue out of it, though. We got some things fixed up in Cleveland, but that's it.
We're hugging the meeting.
Pittsburgh gets to have the furries come back next year and generate another $5 million. Yep. We get, okay, yeah. We've got these hotels now. We get to have something come in and start using them because we proved we can handle it. It's like, no, sorry, Cleveland loses.
Hall D was a huge ad this year for the fans to come in. That was so energizing. Now, there's a bit of a snafu on the split off line.
Yeah, there was.
But nonetheless, it still worked.
It's a work in progress. Life is.
But, oh, yeah, interactive.
Also, having these chairs, having these young people, having the Hall D, this is going to create new furries. That girl with the flower, she may want her own fursuit like a year from now.
Yeah.
And that's that's going to make
my daughter does.
Your daughter wants a fursuit.
When I made mine, she goes,
you've got to make me one, too.
The furries come into Pittsburgh, and they say for Mando's going out of business.
Make mine.
I make mine. So now you've got a business that loves you because we saved it.
Well, there's a lot of businesses.
Well,
and they're in this area. This is their big weekend. They make more money on this weekend than any other time of the year. For some of the restaurants,
some of them get 80% of their annual.
Yeah, this is their Black Friday.
It is.
Everybody else waits for Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. No, Pittsburgh downtown businesses, they wait for Anthrocon because that weekend, that's their Black Friday.
Right. Yeah.
And that one liquor store around the corner is remodeling now. It is closed. There is nothing in there. And I'm thinking, what a time to choose to remodel.
Yeah.
But, anybody else here have a daydream of one day Donald Trump? You mentioned the DNC, Donald Trump just walking in on all this.
Actually, you know what I would
That would be funny as hell.
During the parade, I wish they would have had a couple members of the Pittsburgh Penguins come down. Because you have contingents of persons.
Probably all gone home by now.
Carrying that
Well, they had the cup thing there.
You know, all you needed was to have like Mario Lemieux come back and say, you know what, I'm coming down here. I'm not even going to put on anything. Give me a couple of ears and a tail. I'll walk. That place would have erupted.
Yeah.
They would have torn down this building. It's like, we got the cup, and the furries even know we got the cup.
Yeah.
Yes. To tie this into the con theme, baseball, first of all, sports fans are like us. They wear, you know, the uniforms with the numbers on there and everything like that. They idolize the players. They come to the games. If you've got a ball team, you've got the Pirates or whatever, you're going to have stuff that to attract families. You're going to have a mascot who's going to high-five the kids, race the kids around the bases, and that's how they get the families in. So by having a mascot, whether it's the Philly Fanatic or San Diego Andrew Schick or whatever, that's what they do. That's where the mascots come in. And we're nothing who was a guest of honor here a couple years ago. But that's the same thing with our fursuiters as the mascots. Yep. And that's why these kids love it. It's a 6 foot tall lion. Oh, lion. Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. I was wondering if we're going to be able to mingle or just talk to people soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, by all means. Yeah. Yep. In fact, we're over on our time. I know I've
been.
I'm
good with staying if you guys are. So.
Like
you want
we'll let
you and then you. That will be the last time. I'm going to go get a bite to eat. I am kind of hungry.
Some that have defended the fandom itself.
Yeah, that's true.
I remember we had
done doing whatever.
She is an oddly small man. And Larry Dixon, of course, was with her. And I can't remember the name of the comic
Usagi.
Yes.
Yeah. Jimbo, yeah.
Was here a number of years ago.
I'd love to get him back. Get him back.
Yeah.
He came back voluntarily the next year.
Oh, yeah. Fisher, he brought Peter Laird with him the next year. Hey, Peter, you know, you got that Turtles thing. How about you come on in?
Stan Sakai, when he was on the board and people were bashing the furries, Stan Sakai said they're good people. Mm-hmm. That shut the whole thread down.
Yeah. Now, I've known him for years. He was guest of honor at Anime Weekend Atlanta some years back. And he's sitting by himself out in the lobby. And I go up, I'm like, Stan, what's going on? He goes, oh, I'm just sitting down. I'm like, and people haven't come up. He goes, no. And I'm like, okay, mind if I join you? I got Stan Sakai to myself for 30 minutes. I'm like, okay, you guys don't realize what you've got here. Fine, I'm taking his time. And that's another thing, as we get older, we realize, people always ask me, how do you go and you meet these high-level people? How do you meet these race car drivers and strike up a conversation with them like you do? Treat them like people. I mean, it's almost the old golden rule. Treat them like how you'd like to be treated. Go and show that you appreciate their work, but don't sit there and proselyte on the ground in front of them. That's not what they want. They want to be treated like a person. If you do that, you'll find out, wait a minute, I got to know this person, this person, this person, this person. Wow, I'm actually knowing some big name people. Yes, sir.
We were talking earlier about recruiting. There's another convention, Wild Nights, in Oklahoma, an outdoor con. We have, it's on a state park. We have horseback riding there. The people who own the stables was an older gentleman, his wife, and his son. And we go on the horseback ride. A lot of those guys go in fursuit, or the attendees go in fursuit. The first time they did it, the old guy that's running it, I should talk, the old guy who's running it is going, this is kind of cool, this is bad. By the end of the ride, says, I want a fursuit, a grizzly bear.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
Let the conversions commence.
I do thank you all.
Thank you very much for coming. This was a great turnout.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I'm thankful because he actually set all this up. I might have been yapping all the time in that. He's the one that made it happen. Yeah. So Spirit Board, you know.
Just since everybody's here, what do you think about it this year? Was it better than doing the breakfast?
Oh, much better. And paying a lot of money and not have a tough, makes it tough talking.
Yeah, we can talk to each other at the breakfast.
Yes, food is very good.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, we'll have to
keep it up.
You made the right call. I had help. Thank you much. Yeah, have a great rest of your day.